Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hello everyone, welcome to this new episode, which is brought to you by iTalki, an online service that helps you find English teachers for one-to-one lessons. Listening to my episodes is definitely going to be good for your English. How can it not be good? How can it not be beneficial? I know for a fact that it helps your English, but you also have to do lots of active practice, and that means speaking. But who can you speak to? You might not be able to find the right people to talk to or the right teachers to give you the right kind of lessons that you need. Well, iTalki can help. They have loads of teachers. You can check their profiles, see if they have a particular set of skills, see their introductory videos, maybe get trial lessons with them so you can see what their teaching is like. And then when you choose one that's right for you, and you get some talking time, iTalki will send you a voucher, which is worth the equivalent of a free lesson. And that is available for my listeners. And to get that offer, you need to go to my special URL, which is teacherluke.co.uk/talk. Okay? Now, also, before we begin, please consider voting for Luke's English Podcast in the British Podcast Awards this year. I need all the votes I can possibly get. And that means you. Yes, you specifically. Please don't assume that everyone else will do it. It's very simple. You can do it right now. And then you can tell me that you've done it by leaving a comment on the website or something. Or not. But do vote, please. BritishPodcastAwards.com/vote. Then search for Luke's English Podcast. And Bob is your uncle. Get your phone out now. Just do it now. You got your phone there, right? Just get your phone out now, or maybe if you're in front of your computer, you can do it there. And just type BritishPodcastAwards.com/vote. British, no problem. Podcast, you know how to spell that. PODCAST. Awards, AWARDS.com/vote. And search for Luke's English Podcast, and there you go. It's dead easy. And if all of you do it, I might get into the top three. I could raise the profile of this podcast, and that can help me do things in the future, like, for example, get cool guests on the podcast. Plus, it would just make me very happy indeed. So come on, why don't you do it now? It'll take less than a minute. BritishPodcastAwards.com/vote. Thank you. You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hello, folks. Welcome back to Luke's English Podcast. In this episode, I'm going to continue going through a list of comments and questions from listeners while using those comments and questions as a springboard to ramble about this and that. Okay, so I've got a list of comments and questions from listeners. I'm going to continue going through them, and that's going to probably lead to some rambling on various things. Some of the questions that I've got here are related to language. Others are related to topics that I've covered on the podcast recently. And I've got 1 hour to do this. I've got less than 1 hour before I have to go and pick up my daughter from daycare. So let's see what I can do in an hour. Let's go. Right. So before we go any further, I have to say something about Luke's English Podcast Premium. I'm not marketing it now. I'm not advertising it now, promoting it now. I'm just saying it's not ready yet. Okay. I just want to say that and be clear. I'm afraid it's not ready yet because I keep getting questions from listeners asking about it. It's not ready. Some listeners have found a sign up form for the premium stuff, but there's actually no content available yet. So I haven't told you it's ready yet. I haven't announced it yet. So please don't sign up. Even if you somehow find a way to do it, there's like a couple of little buttons that you may have noticed, one on the app and stuff, so that it's not really supposed to be public yet. So don't sign up until I've made a proper announcement about it. I haven't uploaded any premium content yet. I'm working on the first episodes at the moment, but they're not ready. It's coming soon. Okay, so please wait until I say go before you sign up, and I haven't said go yet. I've got loads of work to do over the next week or two, and I'm hoping to produce quite a lot of content this month, but it's already proving to be quite hard to get work done so far this month. Why is it so hard to get work done, Luke, you might be asking? Well, it's May, it's the month of May, and here in France, where I live, in Paris, there are loads of public holidays in May. There are four public holidays that land in May, which is wonderful, of course, because it means that, you know, you get some days off work, and especially if the weather is good, which it is today, blue sky, sunshine, temperature is about 27, 28 degrees. It's fantastic. So if you get public holidays in May, that is wonderful. But it also does make things a little bit complicated. It can be hard to get things done. If you want to get some work done, if you're someone who needs to get lots of work done in May, it can be quite an inconvenient month. It's weird, isn't it? I mean, in some countries, you don't get many public holidays. And so it must sound strange to hear someone in France kind of going, oh, it's really inconvenient. We've just got so much free time, so many statutory public days off. It's really annoying. So it's kind of weird to be almost complaining about it. But it is wonderful, but it also can be a bit inconvenient at times. It can be hard to get things done. In France, and I think in other countries too, there is this thing called doing the bridge, or as they call it, le pont in French. So the bridge, this is when public holidays land on a Tuesday or a Thursday, okay? So if you imagine, so in the French calendar, public holidays always land on the same dates every year. So it's always on the same date. Now, sometimes that date might be a weekend, in which case you lose the public holiday, or it might land during the week on a weekday, and then you get the day off, okay? Now, if the public holiday lands on a Monday or on a Friday, you get a long weekend. You get, you know, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, or you get Friday, Saturday, Sunday, okay? But if the public holiday lands on a Tuesday or a Thursday, it might be possible for you to take you get a little a day there in the middle. So if the public holiday lands on a Tuesday, then Monday is just left on its own. You see, you get Saturday and Sunday, then Monday, and then a Tuesday off. So what many people do is they do the bridge, which is where they take both the Monday and the Tuesday, which is already a holiday. They take the Monday off and they do the bridge. And then they have like a super long weekend, which is Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. And that's called doing the bridge. But it also means that you cut out almost half of the week. And if you imagine four public holidays landing in May, and like this particular year, each of those 4 days is landing during the week. So it's a bit like, I mean, if you've got lots of work to do, if you're running a business or something, or, you know, you're just very busy in the office and you have many things to do, that can feel a bit like bombs have been dropped on your working week. And suddenly, like, the first 2 weeks of May have just been kind of destroyed. That there's no rhythm. You can't get a rhythm right. It's like half the people who you do business with have taken the whole week off. And so it can be really hard to get things done. So that's what's happened here. When public holidays land on a Tuesday or Thursday, it can really break up the week, and you have to squeeze all of your work into just a few days. The first 2 weeks of May, as I've said, contain four holidays, and this year they've all landed midweek, which can sort of make things a bit difficult to manage. For example, our our baby daughter is in daycare these days, but on a public holiday, the daycare centre is closed. So we have to look after the baby, we have to have the baby at home, which means that we can't go to work, or it just changes things. I mean, it's wonderful, of course. It's fantastic because we get to spend the day with our daughter. And so those days, like we've got last week, we had... We had like 2 days last week, and I think 2 days this week. We've got Tuesday this week and Thursday. So those 2 days will be spent with my wife and me and the baby. And it just means that those are going to be family days. We might go and have a picnic or whatever. Those will be family days, but they won't be work days. We might get a little bit of work done, but it's hard to really get down to proper work on those days. So from a work point of view, and I consider doing things like producing episodes of this podcast and all the necessary stuff for producing the premium stuff. I mean, essentially, that is work, because this is now becoming, hopefully, fingers crossed, this is becoming my job. So from a work point of view, it's hard to get all the things done that you want to get done. From a general quality of life point of view, it's nice, because we'll get to spend some time with our daughter. So, you know, you can just see the way things go here in France. It's a different culture, and I think back in the UK and in some other countries, certainly in the UK, we have a slightly more pragmatic focus, which is more about, we maybe prioritize getting our work done a bit more, whereas in France, it's all about enjoying your life and your private life, and that is obviously a wonderful thing that people really put a lot of importance on their personal life and their leisure time, and so that sometimes takes priority, which is great, but from a work point of view, quite difficult. In the UK, all of our public holidays are moved to the nearest Monday, so no matter what day they land in the calendar, just the closest Monday to that day becomes the holiday, which means that the week remains fairly unaffected by the holiday. So instead of the week being broken up by it landing on a Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday, it just stays on the Monday, and that kind of means that it's sort of less disruptive to the workplace. But in France, they just land on the same dates every year, and they stay there, and so, you know, that can work in your favor if it means you get a long weekend, but it can work against you if you've got lots of work to do. So what I'm trying to say is, on the premium side of things, I really want to get all that stuff produced and ready to go this month, but it's proving to be a little bit difficult because of all these public holidays and stuff. In France, people are very protective of public holidays and workers' rights. And in the past, people had to fight really hard. They had to demonstrate, they had to protest, and they had to negotiate and fight very hard to get public holidays, like statutory public holidays, paid. And so, in France, people hold that right very seriously. They protect the rights of workers very seriously because they had to fight so hard to get those things in the first place. And now holidays have become an important part of French life, although people obviously work very hard here too. France is one of the world's top economies, and people do work very hard, despite the fairly unfair cliche that, you know, perhaps French people are not hardworking. They are hardworking, but they also make a lot of effort to enjoy their lives too. So, you know, French people do like to spend time relaxing outside a cafe, drinking nice wine, engaging in good conversation, eating nice cheese and things like that. Those things are very important, and also, protecting people's rights to enjoy their lives and to have public holidays. That's very important. So the culture is different in France than it is to the UK, as I've said, but it's certainly very different to other places, like, for example, in Japan, where people are given fewer holidays than in France. Like in Japan, in my experience, having met many company workers in Japan, lots of them just hardly took any time off. Some of the guys that I used to teach English to back in Japan, who were working for companies, they would get maybe 5 days off a year. And in France, people get, at least 5 weeks plus a bunch of public holidays, maybe even more than 5 weeks in some cases. For example, here, it's quite normal for many people to take the entire month of August off. Lots of people just will not do anything in August. It's just the whole month is a holiday, which means that it's difficult to get anything done in August business-wise, unless you're a tourism company or you run a hotel for tourists or something like that. But in August, nothing really happens, it feels like. Certainly in Paris, it feels like the city is kind of dead because so many people have left the city and they've gone off to houses in the countryside or they've gone on holiday to other countries. So Paris itself seems very quiet, which is fantastic, actually, because the place is much more calm and relaxed and less stressed than it usually is. Back in the United Kingdom, people still work during August. The kids are on holiday, of course. And, you know, you might take 2 weeks off work during the summer in July or in August, but you still basically continue to work when you're not on that holiday. So in August, people still are working at a fairly similar pace as during the rest of the year. Things might slow down a bit in the UK in August, but in France, certainly in Paris, it's definitely very noticeable that in August, everything's quiet. Lots of places are closed. Lots of shops and other businesses might close down in August and just reopen in September. So that's August. It's hard to get things done in August. But May as well in France is a little bit like August, but no one really expects it to happen. So everyone is always taken by surprise by May. You know, people trying to plan their work life always kind of forget that May is kind of like the ninja August, because you don't expect that the holidays are coming. And then suddenly you arrive in May and it's like, wait, I can't achieve anything. We can't get anything done. And then May is like, we're ninja August. Anyway, May is like May in France is like ninja August. Yes. If you have seen Paul Taylor's YouTube series, What the Fuck France, are you aware of that show? Many of you are. My friend Paul, who is a fairly regular guest on this podcast, hopefully I'll be getting him and Amber on the podcast again soon. Paul made a TV series for Canal Plus, a TV station here in France, and also it was a YouTube video series all about sort of making fun, in an affectionate way, making fun of different aspects of life in France. And one of the episodes was all about public holidays. And Amber and me and a few other people used to help Paul write those videos. And the one about public holidays, I was quite involved in writing that episode, and a lot of the ideas and things that came up in that episode were contributed by me. So I feel that's kind of like my episode of What the Fuck France. Even though I'm not in it, I did write quite a lot of it. I'm going to play you a little clip from the episode of What the Fuck France, which is all about public holidays now. And this is the bit about Ninja August. So this is Paul talking about May in France and how there are so many public holidays here, but no one expects it, or no one sort of realizes that often in May you can't get anything done. So it's like Ninja August.
Number two, May. The month of May is a fucking joke. There are so many public holidays that no one gets any work done. It's like the month of August, except it sneaks up on you like a fucking ninja. Yeah! May is the Ninja August.
What?
Oh, thank you. It's a place full of happy, sunny bridges and a flying Jesus that ascends up to heaven. Speaking of Jesus...
All right. So if you want to watch that video, I'll put a link to it on the page for this episode on the website. Okay, let's carry on. Time check. Okay, I've got 40 minutes. All right, then. So kind of quite a rambly episode, this one. But anyway, that bit about Ninja August just is my way of saying it's really hard to get things done. So if you're waiting for LEP Premium to arrive, just hold on. Just hang in there. It's coming soon. And hopefully in the second half of August, I'll get more stuff done. Right. So I'm going to carry on responding to those questions and comments from listeners like I started in the last episode. And we will see where this takes us. So let's carry on. I'd also like to remind you, please consider voting for Luke's English Podcast in the British Podcast Awards. I must remember to... I'll mention that again later. I need to move on. Shout out to Jack. Jack in the comments section. I'd like to just say again to Jack, thank you very much for adding lists of vocabulary under recent episodes, including many of the episodes in the episode archive. And if you're on the website, teacherluke.co.uk, checking the page for episodes, looking at, for example, the transcripts that you can find there and videos that I might post there and other things, check out the comments section, because you may find lists of vocabulary or language extracts from that episode, which have been written by Jack, one of the comments section Lepsters. So thanks, Jack. Thanks for doing that. That should be very useful for my listeners, because listeners, if you're sort of thinking about how you can learn vocab from these episodes, then you could go and check out either the page for the episode, where you'll often see lots of the language I'm using written, either in the form of transcripts or vocab lists, and also check the comments section, because you might find a list of language extracts written by Jack. And Jack's very good. He's got very good listening skills. He knows a lot of words that I use. These might be phrases that you might miss, and you can check them out in the comments section. When LEP Premium arrives eventually, I'll be delving into that kind of stuff too, explaining, clarifying language which has come up in episodes of the podcast. Now, Jack, for some reason, always pesters me for a gift, right? He's always in the, I don't know why, but in the comment section, he's like, you know, I can't wait to get my gift. And I don't really know why he does that, since, I mean, I'm already gifting him with episodes of the podcast, but, you know, I don't, whatever, I think he's just joking. But I suppose this time, for the contribution that he's made to the website, this time I think Jack does deserve something for adding these useful vocabulary lists to the pages. So Jack, on my recent trip back to the UK, we were in the UK a couple of weeks ago. On my recent trip back to the UK, Jack, I picked something up for you. Now, I know you're into cars. I know you like cars. So let me now hand you this gift. It's the keys to a 1975 Rolls-Royce Silver Shadow. This is the ultimate in classic British luxury motoring. At the time it was released, this was absolutely the top of the range in terms of comfort, style and quality, and it remains to this day a symbol of British class and sophistication. Jack, it just doesn't get better than this. With its massive V8 engine delivering 190 brake horsepower, a steel frame, vacuum-assisted brakes, power steering, a manual three-speed gearbox, and a top speed of 106 miles per hour, this is a precision machine from the golden age of British motoring. Admittedly, this 43-year-old vehicle is no longer top of the range, but it is a vintage classic. And admittedly, it can't compete with modern-day equivalents, such as the high-performance luxury models produced by companies like Bentley. But, Jack, for a leisurely drive through the British countryside, in the most quintessentially British manner, this has to be the number one choice. They just don't make them like this anymore, Jack. The engine in the Rolls-Royce Silver Shadow delivers a powerful, stately and commanding sense of control, and the ride is so utterly smooth and poised that you can enjoy afternoon tea and cake with guests in the back of the car without spilling a drop on the quality leather upholstery. This car oozes charm. It breathes refinery. It is the epitome of retro British eccentricity. I present to you the Rolls-Royce Silver Shadow. So, Jack, here are the keys. Just the keys, I'm afraid. I don't know where the car itself is. It's somewhere, definitely somewhere around. I don't know. But anyway, there are the keys from me to you, Jack. Thank you very much. There's your gift. I hope you enjoy it. Now, moving on. Now, here's a comment from a listener. I think your name is pronounced Heiner. I'm not sure, but Heiner is from Germany. Heiner, that's going to be your name now, okay? From Germany. And this is a sort of a correction to something that I said on the podcast recently. I've got two comments here which give me a kind of a correction, which aim to correct things that I said on the podcast. So this one from Heiner says, in episode 516 with Beetle Paul, you remember that one, listeners? That's the one where we listened to Paul McCartney telling a story about how he encountered some spiders once when he was younger. So in episode 516 with Beetle Paul, you explain the following idiom: to be as blind as a bat. Do you remember that one? Paul was talking about John Lennon and saying that he was blind as a bat because he couldn't see without his glasses. He was blind as a bat. So, and blind, if you're as blind as a bat, it means that you have got really bad eyesight or that you're totally blind. I think, to be honest, Hina Heine Heine, I think it really means that you just have bad eyesight. I'm not sure it means... It could mean that you're completely blind, totally blind, or it could just be a sort of an exaggeration to mean that you just have bad eyesight. And, you know, for example, you could say, I'm as blind as a bat without my glasses, meaning I can't see very well without my glasses. And the idea behind the expression is that bats are often thought to be blind. Well, no, what I said was, despite that being an expression, I'm as blind as a bat without my glasses, bats are often thought to be blind, but in fact, their eyes are as good as ours, but they use their ears more at night than their eyes. That's what I said. And Hina Heine Heine says, Luke, that's not quite true. The following two phrases are from the English Wikipedia, and they explain the vision of bats. Number one, the eyes of most microbat species are small and poorly developed, leading to poor visual acuity, but no species is blind. Number two, megabat species often have eyesight as good as, if not better than, human vision. Their eyesight is adapted to both night and daylight vision, including some colour vision. So what you state is true only for the subspecies megabat, whereas microbats are nearly as blind as a bat, but not quite. Greetings from good old Germany, Hina Heine Heine. I'm not sure it... on reflection... Ladies and gents, I'm not sure it was that important for me to read that one out on the podcast. But anyway, there it is. My response to Hina Heine Heine is, okay, thank you for the clarification. In my defence, we don't have many megabats in the UK. Now, you might be thinking, what on earth is a megabat and what's a microbat? I think basically there's just megabats are considered to be just big bats and microbats are little bats. Okay, all right. So, in my defence, Hina Heine Heine, we don't have many megabats in the UK. The majority of our bats are microbats. So, perhaps that explains how the phrase entered common parlance, because in our experience, our bats usually have quite poor eyesight, although to say that they are blind is actually not true. But still, thank you, the correction still stands. I said that bats actually have good eyesight, but that only applies to megabats, whereas microbats actually do have relatively poor eyesight, although they aren't completely blind. So I'd like to just also apologise to the microbat or megabat community for getting that one wrong. I don't want to offend bats of any size if they are listening to the podcast. And considering they have such good hearing, we know that's true. They do have very good hearing. They're probably listening to this now. There's probably thousands of bats with amazing bat hearing that are just listening to me even now from wherever they are in the world. So sorry to the bat speech. So, and I'd like to apologise to Batman as well, because if Batman turns up and goes, I heard you've been talking about me, and I'd be like, no, it's just all a misunderstanding, I'm sorry, then that would be a problem. So anyway, the expression, I'm as blind as a bat, still stands, and it still stands as a phrase that we do use in English to mean either you're blind or you just have bad eyesight. And I think we can probably consider, we can still say it. Okay, fine. Nope. So anyway, seriously though, it is good to get corrections like this on the podcast in order to prevent the spread of misinformation, which does happen every day and which is a problem. Here's another correction from a listener. And admittedly, this one is probably a bit more important, I think. Not to take anything away from Hina Heine Heine and the bat community, but I think this next one is, yeah, really definitely worth reading out. So this is a correction about Stephen Hawking, and I received this as a message on Facebook And this is a correction about Stephen Hawking and is, yeah, probably more important than the one about the bat, to be honest. So the comment goes like this. Hi, Luke. How are you? How's your family? I'm fine. Thanks for asking. I didn't ask, but I'm glad that you're fine. Ha, ha, ha. Smiley face, smiley face. Okay, so the message continues. I'm a med student in Brazil, and like a medical student in Brazil. And as I was listening to the episode you did on Stephen Hawking, I couldn't help myself but to clarify. Sorry, I couldn't help but clarify is how it should go. I couldn't help but clarify some things you said about his disease. I hope you don't mind, but since I know you are curious about almost anything, I'm sure you won't mind. Okay, I don't mind. I welcome the correction from a medical student. You said that his kind of motor neurone disease affects the brain. It actually affects neurons outside the brain. These neurons or neurones? I think it's neurones. N-E-U-R-O-N-E-S. Or is it neurons? Hold on a minute. Let me check. Neurons or neurones? Neurons. Specialized cell transmitting nerve impulses. A nerve cell. All right. Of course, you're right. You're a medical student, so it's neurons. Okay. So you said that his kind of motor neurone disease affects the brain. It actually affects neurons outside the brain. These neurons are responsible for making our muscles produce movements. And that's why the condition is called motor neurone disease. This disease is also known as ALS, which stands for amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, ALS. You also said that his disease affected his central nervous system, but it actually affected his peripheral motor system. We have neurons throughout our bodies. Everything in the brain and in the spinal cord is our central nervous system. Neurons outside these structures belong to the peripheral nervous system. Are you following this, listeners? So the brain and the spinal column, all the sort of stuff, the nervous system there in the brain and the spinal column, that's called the central nervous system. But all the neurons, the nerve cells that exist everywhere else in our bodies, that's called the peripheral nervous system. And apparently, Stephen Hawking's ALS affected the peripheral nervous system, not the central nervous system, as I said. It's worth mentioning this stuff because I do want to raise awareness of these conditions. It's important to raise awareness of this kind of thing because they're very common. It's very widespread. ALS, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis is something that affects many, many, many people all the time. The message continues like this. Do you remember the ice bucket challenge? Do you remember that, folks? A few years ago, it went around the internet. It went viral. People were filming themselves being covered in ice cubes. So you'd film your, you know, lots of celebrities and public figures and stuff were doing it too. They'd video themselves being having a bucket of ice or iced water chucked over their head. So do you remember the ice bucket challenge? It was created to increase the awareness of ALS and it worked. Donations coming from the challenge helped researchers at the University of Massachusetts Medical School to find out one gene that is involved in the disease. This finding can help in future therapy development. I hope my explanation was useful and not too boring. Thank you so much for all your work in making this podcast. Cheers, Clennison. Well, Clennison, your explanation was very useful and not boring at all. Thank you very much for writing that to me. And I'm glad that you explained that and that you picked me up on that. I think it's important. So, yeah. Got it? The central nervous system, the peripheral nervous system, the peripheral nervous system can be affected by amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. It basically means that if people have ALS, it seriously affects the way in which they are able to use their muscles to control movements and things like that. And, you know, it's important that people know what these common diseases are all about, and so that, you know, general public awareness can just help to do things like bring more funding to research, and when research is properly funded, doctors, scientists can actually find the source of these things, which then leads to finding proper treatment, which leads to people actually being able to live their lives properly. So there we go. Thank you, Clennison, for that correction. I appreciate it. Now, do you remember in the last episode I mentioned briefly something at the beginning about a useful Japanese cat? I said that I'd be talking about a useful Japanese cat. Well, let's read this next comment from a listener. And it goes like this. Dear Luke, how are you? I'm fine, thank you very much. Thank you for asking. I'm in a little bit of a rush trying to get things done, but I'm fine, thanks. This is Yuko, a Japanese expatriate living in New York and suffering from an incurable condition called anglophilia. By the way, listeners, anglophilia is basically an obsession or a great fondness for all things English. So Yuko is basically addicted to English things. And she continues, in the episode talking about pets, your brother repeatedly mentioned the unusefulness of cats as opposed to dogs. Yes, that's right. We did talk about that, didn't we, in that episode? We were talking about how dogs perform a useful function often in society. We can have like police dogs or sniffer dogs or guard dogs and things. They all do different jobs. Whereas cats, on the other hand, you couldn't have like a police cat because, you know, they're just not suited to the, they don't have the skill set. They don't have the particular set of skills required to do police work, unlike dogs, which apparently do. So we were talking about how cats are basically useless to the human race beyond just being cute. And we also suggested that cats were essentially self-interested animals who somehow have managed to make us their slaves. Because, you know, when you have a cat in the house, eventually you start to realize, wait a minute, the cat is the one that's in charge. The cat lies around not doing any work, and just we feed it, and we're like its slaves. It's our master, not the other way around. Anyway, so Yuko's message continues like this. I just wanted to show you the exceptions to the idea that cats are not useful in society. There are some cats who worked as a station master in a Japanese train station. And Yuko linked the Wikipedia page for this story. So do you get this, folks? In a Japanese train station, there is some Japanese train station somewhere in Japan where they actually had a cat as the station master. Now, this doesn't surprise me, actually, because since I know Japan quite well, of course in Japan you had a cat working as the station master in a train station. Of course you did, because this is Japan. This is Japan, where this is the sort of thing that might happen. You know, I'm totally unsurprised. I can imagine going to a train station, maybe in some small town somewhere in Japan, and going into the train station and, you know, buying my ticket from the machine, and then noticing a box there on the side of the platform with a cat, maybe with some sort of uniform, like maybe a logo hanging around its neck or something. A cat, essentially employed by the train station to work as a station master, and everyone just going about their business, and maybe the cat logo everywhere, so cute little cat pictures, and it's like the cat train station. Everything's, the whole train station is dedicated to the images of cats. Well, that's exactly what's going on here, because let me read from the Wikipedia page of this is the Wikipedia page about a cat called Tama. Born in April 1999, unfortunately died in June 2015. Tama was a female calico cat who gained fame for being a station master and operating officer at Kishi Station on the Kishigawa Line in Kinokawa, Wayakama Prefecture in Japan. Let me read about Tama. This is a lovely story. Tama was born in Kinokawa, Wakayama, and was raised with a group of stray cats that used to live close to Kishi Station. Stray cats. A stray cat is a cat that doesn't really have a home. It's just a cat that's just, they're like wild cats I mean, they probably used to be domesticated, or they're domesticated breeds of cat. They're not like, you know, cats that live naturally out in the countryside, but they're probably city cats that just don't have homes, like homeless cats, stray cats. So Tama was raised with a group of stray cats that used to live close to Kishi Station. They were regularly fed by passengers and by Toshiko Koyama, the informal station manager at the time. Okay. The station was almost shut down in 2004 because of financial problems. Around this time, Koyama adopted Tama. So Koyama being the guy who looked after the station, he adopted Tama. Eventually, the decision to shut down the station was withdrawn after the citizens demanded that it stay open. So I guess the train company or the government were going to close down the station, but the people of the town demanded that the train station stay open. In April 2006, the Wakayama Electric Railway de-staffed all stations on the Kishigawa line to cut costs. Station masters were selected from employees of local businesses near each station, and Koyama was officially chosen as the station manager. Okay, de-staff all stations to cut costs. Station masters were selected from employees of local businesses near each station. Koyama was officially chosen as the station manager. Okay, maybe what they did was they got rid of all the station staff and replaced them with one station manager, and that was this guy, Toshiko Koyama. Okay, the guy who had Tama the cat as his pet or friend. Can you be friends with a cat? Hello, I'd like you to come around for a coffee. Yeah, I'm just going to be here with my friend. All right, what's your friend's name? Tama. Okay, it's a nice name. Where's your friend then? Oh, he's here. Oh, what, the cat? Yeah. So in January 2007, railway officials decided to officially name Tama the station master. What? So the cat was eventually officially named the station master. As station master, her primary duty was to greet passengers. So wait a minute, what happened to Toshiro? What was his name? What happened to Toshiko, the guy? Maybe he stepped down and he let Tama become the official station master. Maybe Koyama had been training Tama, and you know, as if to say, so Tama, one day this station will be yours. Soon, when I'm too old to work here, you're going to take over this station, and you're going to be the one who looks after the passengers and the commuters. Okay, how does that sound? And Tama said, that sounds meowvelous. I'm just going to move on from that awful joke. So, the Wikipedia page. The publicity from Tama's appointment led to an increase in passengers by 17% for that month as compared to January 2006. Well, I'm not surprised. If you learnt that the local train station was being run by a cat, you would use that station, wouldn't you? Just to at least see the cat and just see like if it has a uniform or whether the cat is like stamping tickets or, you know, you would. I mean, I would add 15 minutes to my journey just to witness that. So I'm not surprised that the passenger intake increased by 17% for that month. Also, ridership statistics for March 2007 showed a 10% increase over the previous financial year. Wow, so the station made 10% more money than it did the previous year. A study estimated that the publicity surrounding Tama has contributed 1.1 billion yen to the local economy. Oh my God, this cat's a real moneymaker. A money cat, you could say. In January 2008, Tama was promoted to Super Station Master in a ceremony attended by the president of the company and the mayor of the town. As a result of her promotion, she was the only female in a managerial position in the company. Oh my God! This not only has this cat become the first cat to run a train station, but also she's a champion of women's rights. The first female in a managerial position in the company. Oh my goodness. Her new position had an office, a converted ticket booth containing a litter box. Of course, well, the cat needs somewhere to shit, doesn't it? So you need a litter box in there. Anyway, in January 2010, railway officials promoted Tama to the post of operating officer. Operating officer. Do you think she's got a business card? In recognition of her contribution to expanding the customer base, Tama maintained the station master's job while taking over the new job and was the first cat to become an executive of a railroad corporation. Her staff consisted of two feline assistant station masters. What? So the cat had like staff that were also cats? So this cat had other cats working for her. Her staff consisted of two feline assistant station masters. Tama's sister, Chibi, born in May 2000. And Tama's mother, an orange tabby cat named Miko. Oh my God, it's the cutest story in the world. I'm just exploding from cuteness. Cuteness overload. Tama had like her sister and her mum also worked at the station. They were the star. Oh my God. In spring 2009, the Wakayama Electric Railway introduced a new train called the Tama Densha, which is basically like the Tama train on the line, which was customized. On the line, which was customized with cartoon depictions of Tama. Oh my God, so there was a Tama train, like a cat train. There's a picture of it. It's like a cat train that's been painted, and it's got like a little cute nose and whiskers on the front of the train. Only in Japan, ladies and gentlemen, the cat train. In August 2010, the station building at Kishi was rebuilt. They rebuilt the whole station with a new structure resembling a cat's face. They redesigned the station so it looked like a cat's face, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, I miss Japan. I want to go to this station just to get that warm, fluffy, cute feeling of just, I'd like to spend the day there, please. Both the Tama Densha refurbishment and station rebuilding projects were overseen by an industrial designer, Eiji Mitsuka, who I assume is a human. Imagine if it was overlooked by like an industrial designer who was like, like an owl, like, you know, like another animal that's the cats like run the station. But the station is designed by much more intelligent animals from like a different social class. So like owls, you know, bird, like those really clever birds that fly around at night. No, Eiji Mitsuka wasn't an owl. He was a human, I think. I mean, I can check the Wikipedia page for Eiji Mitsuka and just see if he is a person. Yes, he is a human. There he is, a Japanese man with grey hair and a suit. Okay, so a man, a human. I love this story. The story goes on, ladies and gents. I'll link it on the page so you can read the rest of it and you can find out how... Apparently, after Tama finally passed away, after Tama died, the station continued to employ cats as station master. And now it's like the station's been handed down from one cat to the other. Oh my goodness me. Only in Japan. How wonderful. Ladies and gentlemen, is this the sort of thing that only can happen in Japan? I don't know. If you know of any similar things... where animals are performing civic duties to the same extent, or maybe where animals are doing very useful things for the community, then please let me know. Send your messages to my web. You know, get on the website and leave a comment on this episode. And that's fantastic. Yuko finishes her message by saying, "Aren't they amazing?" Yuko, yes, they are amazing. Wonderful cats. I'm just wondering, do the cats really, like, are they really running the station? Or is it possible that maybe someone else is sort of pulling the strings and the cats are just there, just, you know, as a sort of, as a cute, like, novelty? I don't know, mate. I don't know. I haven't been there, so I can't say. But apparently these cats are devoted to the station, and there they are performing a lovely civic duty, raising the financial revenue of the train company and generally making everyone's lives better in some way, apparently. So there you go. Okay, Yuka, you've proved my brother and me wrong. Cats can perform useful civic duties. And that's why, ladies and gentlemen, I've decided to hand over Luke's English podcast for the rest of the month of May to a local cat, which has been frequenting the local area. I found the cat in the street and I tempted it back to the apartment with like bowls of milk. And which apparently you shouldn't give to cats. Apparently you shouldn't give milk to cats. But anyway, I tempted the cat back in and introduced the cat to the microphone and all the podcasting equipment. And I said, what do you think, cat? Do you think you'd be able to do episodes of Luke's English podcast? And the cat agreed on the condition that that she could do the entire thing just using cat language. So it's mainly going to be meow. That's mainly the English that you're going to learn. Meow, maybe the sound of purring. There'll be a lot of purring on the podcast. That's it, really. I mean, those are what other sounds do cats make? The sound of a yawning cat. You know that sound that cats make when they yawn and then close their mouth? They'll be purring. They'll be meowing. There'll be that weird noise that cats make when they are sitting next to the window and they look through the window and they see a bird in the tree. Do you know what I mean? Now, anyone out there who's got a cat will know what I'm talking about, that cats go really weird sometimes when they're sitting on the windowsill and they're sitting on the windowsill. That's the little platform next to the window. The windowsill, S-I-L-L. When cats are sitting on the windowsill and they're looking out the window and maybe they're looking at birds in the trees or there might be like a fly buzzing around at the top of the window and cats will look up at the birds or the fly or whatever and they start making a weird noise. They go... They kind of start doing this weird thing like they get possessed and start staring at it and they kind of go... Do you know what I mean? If you're not a cat person, you won't understand what I'm talking about. If you are a cat person, you'll know exactly what I mean. It's like, what are the cats doing? Are they like, it's like they're whispering to the fly or whispering to the birds, like, come over here, little birdie bird, I'm going to eat you. I don't know. Cats are kind of funny. So that's what you can expect in forthcoming episodes of the podcast. It's going to be like meowing, purring, yawning sounds, scratching. And sounds. I'm joking, of course. Don't worry. The podcast is not going to be taken over by a cat. Not that you were concerned or worried about that. Someone's now disappointed, I'm sure. Someone's like, oh, really? Oh, I wanted to hear the cat podcasts. Yeah. There is a cat who listens to this podcast, isn't there, of course, as we know. That's Kat from the comments section. I guess she's the closest thing that we have to a genuine cat. It's just that her name is Cat. Catherine. Cat for short. Cat, if you're listening, I don't know, maybe if anyone was going to take over from this podcast, if I could choose any cat to do that job, I suppose it would have to be you, wouldn't it? But you would need to wear a cat's out. You'd need to be in cat fancy dress. You'd need to dress like a cat to do it. Anyway, what am I talking about? I'm talking absolute nonsense. And I've only got 4 minutes left before I have to rush off to creche. You understand, don't you, ladies and gentlemen? You do. That sometimes in this podcast, certainly in the free episodes anyway, that I'm podcasting in, you know, certain conditions. In this case, in Ninja August, May in France, where I just haven't been able to get a good sort of period of time together to actually prepare an episode in the thorough and detailed manner that I normally like to do. And that often ends up in me sitting here rambling about cats and things. But you don't mind, do you? No, Luke, no, we don't mind. We like it when you talk shite about animals. Okay, good. There'll be more podcast stuff coming towards you in some way soon. through the internet. There will be the sounds of Luke's English podcast wafting across the spring breeze. Does that make sense? I don't know. Thanks for listening to the podcast, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be speaking to you again soon. Don't forget to visit the website and do all the stuff that you can do there. Check out the vocab lists and things like that. Don't forget to join the mailing list so you get an email in your inbox whenever I upload something. Don't forget to please vote for Luke's English Podcast in the British Podcast Awards. That would be wonderful. Please ask your family and friends if they're willing and able to do it too. Ask your pet cats if they have an internet connection. Ask them to do it as well. Dogs, gerbils, goldfish, hamsters and everything like that. BritishPodcastAwards.com/vote and then search for Luke's English Podcast and cast your vote. And I need every single one of you to do this, okay? Don't be one of those people thinking, I don't need to do it. Everyone else will do it. I don't need to do it because all the others will do it. No, that's what everyone is thinking. And if you all think like that, then no one will vote. So it has to be you, like in you specifically. Yes, you. You. If you've already voted, thank you deeply for doing that. If you haven't voted yet, what are you waiting for? BritishPodcastAwards.com/vote. It's really easy. It'll take you a minute. But it, you know, if I get into the top three again, it'll be really good for the podcast. And, you know, if I raise the profile of this podcast, that can only be good. It could mean that, for example, someone like Eddie Izzard, who I really want to get on this podcast, would be more likely to come on because he'd be like, oh, I see. Oh, he won a British Podcast Award. Oh, well, it's proper stuff then. Okay, I'll do it. Or at least Eddie Izzard's manager, because it's Eddie Izzard's manager who I need to convince to do this. If he goes, oh, it's won a British Podcast Award? All right. So, oh, it, like people listen to it all over the world? Okay, Eddie, I think you should do it. Or whoever else it is. So please do that, and that would be wonderful. If you have a cat or dog or a pet or a husband or wife or girlfriend or boyfriend or an imaginary friend or anything else, give them a little treat, a little stroke on the head, or some other affectionate thing to show them that you love them. Thank you for listening to the podcast. No, that's not proper English. I think I'm going to quit now because I have to go and pick up my lovely little daughter. And I'll speak to you on the podcast soon. Okay, everyone. Goodbye. Bye. 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 Thanks for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.